Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Text Number 31, without any purport. I'll just read the translations. Sukadeva Goswami said, when King Satyavrata spoke in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who at the end of the Yuga had assumed the form of a fish to benefit his devotee and enjoy his pastimes in the water of inundation, responded as follows. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, who can subdue your enemies? On the seventh day from today, the three worlds, Bhu, Bhuva, and Swa, will all merge in the order of the water of inundation. Sound familiar? Anyone know anything from the Bible that sounds familiar to this? What? Noah, yeah. The Noah's Ark. This is where the Noah's Ark came from. When all the three worlds merge into the water, a large boat sent by me will appear before you. Thereafter, O King, you shall collect all types of herbs and seeds and load them on that great boat. Then, accompanied by the seven rishis and surrounded by all kinds of living entities, you shall get aboard that boat. It's called Satyavrata's Ark, or Noah's Ark, depending on. And without moroseness, you shall easily travel with your companions on the ocean of inundation, the only illumination being the effulgence of the great sages. Then, as the boat is tossed about by powerful winds, attach the vessel to my horn, by means of the great serpent, Vasuki, for I shall be present by your side. Pulling the boat with you and all the rishis in it, O King, I shall travel in the water of devastation until the night of Lord Brahma's slumber is over. Purport. This particular devastation actually took place not during the night of Lord Brahma, but during his day. It was during the time of Chakshusha Manu. Brahma's night takes place when Brahma goes to sleep, but in the daytime there are 14 Manus, one of whom is Chakshusha Manu. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that although it was daytime for Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma fell sleepy for a short time by the supreme will of the Lord. So even Brahma sometimes takes a little nap. This short period is regarded as Lord Brahma's night. This has been elaborately discussed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. The following is the summary of his analysis. Because Agastya Muni cursed Swayambhuva Manu, during the time of Swayambhuva Manu, a devastation took place. The devastation is mentioned in the Matsya Purana. During the time of Chakshusha Manu, by the supreme will of the Lord, there was suddenly another pralaya or devastation. This is mentioned by Markandeya Rishi in the Vishnu Dharmotara. At the end of Manu's time, there is not necessarily a devastation. But at the end of Chakshusha Manu Vantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his illusory energy, wanted to show Satyavrata the effects of devastation. Sridhar Swami also agrees with this opinion. The Laghu Bhagavatamrita says, etc. Text 38. Madhyam Mahimanam Cha Param Brahmeti Shabdite Vetsyasyanugrahitam me Samprashnaya Vivritam Riti Madhyam pertaining to me Mahimanam glories Cha and Param Brahma the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth, iti, thus, shabditam, celebrated, vetyasi, you shall understand, anugrihitam, being favored by me, being favored, may, by me, samprashnai, by inquiries, vrivritam, thoroughly explained, riddhi, within the heart. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, again. You will be thoroughly advised and favored by me, and because of your inquiries, everything about my glories, which are known as Param Brahma, will be manifest within your heart. Thus you will know everything about me. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Savasyachaham Riddhi Sanavishto Matak Smritir Gyanam Aponam Cha. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, is situated in everyone's heart, and from him come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord reveals himself in proportion to one's surrender to him. Yeyatamam prabhajante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. In response of reciprocation, the Lord reveals himself in proportion to one's surrender. That which is revealed to one who fully surrenders is different from what is revealed to one who surrenders partially. Everyone naturally surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either directly or indirectly. The conditioned soul surrenders to the laws of nature and material existence, but when one fully surrenders to the Lord, material nature does not act upon him. Such a fully surrendered soul is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Mam eva ye prabhajante, mayam etam tarantite. One who is fully surrendered to the Lord has no fear of the modes of material nature. For everything is but an expansion of the Lord's glories, sarva kalvidam brahma. And these glories are gradually revealed and realized. The Lord is the supreme purifier, param brahma, param brahma, pavitram paramam bhavan. The more one is purified and the more he wants to know about the supreme, the more the Lord reveals to him. Full knowledge of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan is revealed to the pure devotees. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 10:11, Tesham evanukampartam ahama jnana jamdamaha nasham yapmyapmavavashto jnana dipena vashvataha. Out of compassion for them, I dwell in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Here it mentions that Krishna gives intelligence to those who serve him with devotion, spiritual intelligence. Although Krishna is giving intelligence to every living entity, because without Krishna's intelligence, we can't, supplied by Krishna, we can't do anything. Just like a little ant, it also has intelligence. He's inquiring, where is sugar? And Krishna is answering him. Therefore, Krishna is also speaking to the ant. So what to speak of ourselves? He can also speak to us. And we also sometimes ask where the sugar is, but we're not quite as expert as the ant is. We may ask, where is the Mahasweet? And the ant is asking for the Mahasweet, and the ant arrives before we do. But hopefully leaves us some of the Mahasweet, because it doesn't eat very much. In any case, human life is meant to develop spiritual intelligence. And spiritual intelligence means to have a personal relation with Krishna everywhere. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sarvabhutastam atmanam sarvabhutanichatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshana. That the true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me, Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the Supreme Lord, everywhere. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashati tasyaham na pranashami na chamai na pranashati. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. In other words, to have the intelligence how to see Krishna everywhere is the perfection of life. Now, to whom does Krishna give that intelligence? Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. So gradually, Krishna will give intelligence by which we can relate to everyone as if we were personally relating to Krishna. Krishna has many expansions, but generally speaking, the relationship between the soul and the Supreme Soul in all his expansions is one of love. So we have the intelligence how to love Krishna and his various manifestations, including his part and parcels, which are all manifestations of Krishna, and his material energy, which is also a manifestation of Krishna's energy. If Krishna gives us the intelligence how to love these different living manifestations of Krishna, of course Krishna himself, then one is always happy, because one is always in pleasure. Love actually means pleasure. Spiritual love means the highest pleasure. So how do we develop that love? Tesham sadatam yuktanam. To keep in contact with Krishna. So how do we keep in contact with Krishna? Much chita, much kata, prana, bodhi, antash, parash, param. Kata, yantash, mam, nityam, tushanti, cha, ramanti, cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me. So we have to become a pure devotee. Then our thoughts will dwell in Krishna. Now, it doesn't cost any extra money to dwell in Krishna, by the way. It's free. You don't have to take out a student loan and work for 20 years to pay it back. It's free. Unfortunately, with things that come freely, sometimes we don't take it very seriously. We take it for granted. Oh, it's free. Tomorrow I'll get it. Plenty going around. I don't. Therefore, tesham sadatam yuktanam. We learn from the devotees how to much chitta put our consciousness, but also our prana. In other words, we may not be very serious about always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. So we can start with our prana, our life force. Our life force means what we have the capacity to do. So though we may not be so much attracted to Krishna or seeing Krishna everywhere, but at least we can use our life force in Krishna's service. So the devotees, they tell us, for instance, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī tells us we can come to Mangalārti, and hopefully there we can focus our attention and give our love to Krishna. So at least we're using our life force to come to Mangalārti. And then if we further expand that life force into the realm of consciousness, then we can actually focus our attention upon Krishna and give our love to him. Now, of course, we have to be convinced that the deity is Krishna, that Krishna's expansions are on the altar, and that we should love them, we should serve them, we should chant nicely. We're chanting to them, to the acharyas and disciples' succession, that we want to please them. There's a relationship of should be of love. And even though we don't feel great love flowing from our heart towards, but if we try to focus our attention and then try to do things as nicely as possible, as sweetly as possible, and as the best consciousness we can do it, then they'll reciprocate with us. And then by their reciprocation, our natural love will be experienced. Just like the spark, it tries really hard to glow, but it's going to have a hard time glowing too much. But when it comes in contact with the fire, then its glow, natural glow, revises, and it can glow practically unlimitedly in the fire. So we can try to glow a little bit. We could try to do our service with some care and some attention. And if Krishna is pleased and reciprocates, and then we can actually find out what care and attention really mean. When we're actually enlivened by the internal energy of Krishna due to nukampar, anukampar, tam. Krishna simply sees our effort to focus our attention and give our love to him. And then he reciprocates with us out of his compassion, and then he reveals himself, and then it becomes spontaneous and easier to think about Krishna and to love Krishna and serve Krishna because of that higher taste of actually what we're looking for, namely transcendental love and experience. And then it actually expands to all living entities because all living entities are also part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna is in everyone's heart. So to serve Krishna and the living entities is just like if you water the root of the tree, you also serve all the leaves and the branches. Now, if we don't want to serve, we're angry at a branch of the tree, and we decide not to serve the root, we don't want to serve the root because we're angry at a branch, then our activities will not be fruitful. So we think, well, here's a branch of the tree. I don't like that branch. I'm not going to see it in relation to Krishna. I'm going to see it in relation to my material conception, and therefore I can be angry at that branch, angry at that person, lusty after that person, greedy or whatever else, because that's what I'm thinking about, that this branch or this person is separate from Krishna. Then the result will be we stop watering the root and we start getting, we can't nourish the branch, nor do we nourish our relationship with the branch or with the root. In other words, whatever we're doing is just a failure. Well, it's a failure in the sense that we may squeeze some pleasure out of our relationship with others devoid of Krishna consciousness, but it's not real pleasure, nor will that experience last very long, nor will that relationship last permanently. Therefore, jnana vijnana triptatma kutastha vijitendriya yukti te yogi samulostras makanshana. That a person is said to be full of knowledge and realization when he's situated in transcendence, and he sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, is the same. So this is one step on the path of self-realization, Brahman realization. Not to take our assets so seriously that these are mine. It's all mine. It's meant for me. And if you're nice to me, then I give you a little too for you. And we share it because it's ours. Me and mine. Oh, Krishna, yes, Krishna, he's plenty. Don't worry about it. He has plenty of things. He doesn't need mine, not yours. Let's enjoy. Now, the Brahman realization, everything actually is Krishna's, whether it be the pebble or the stone or the gold. Not that the devotee, he thinks, oh, here's a piece of gold, I think I'll throw it like the pebbles into the ocean. And here's a pebble, I think I'll put it on the altar. Go to the store and try and buy something here. Well, let me check my pocket. Oh, I threw the gold into the ocean. Here's a pebble. Can you take the pebble instead? Can't you see it's the same as the gold? Simultaneously one and different. Ultimately, the pebble or the gold can can be utilized in Krishna's service. In that sense, that they're same, but not that the devotee thinks, oh, gold, pebble is the same. Man, woman, there is the same. Everything's the same. Makes no difference what I do. Everything is one. It's one. Like one yogi came to Mayapur. And he was arguing with the devotees, everything is one, everything is one, there's no difference. So the devotees couldn't convince that this yogi that there are differences. It was very cold in Mayapur that night, and the yogi was staying overnight. So he asked, there was a blanket, if he could have a blanket. So the devotee took a little tiny piece of cloth and gave it to him. He said, what's this? He said, well, it's all one. What's the difference? Big blanket, little piece of cloth. It's all the same. I remember one time at a Sunday feast, I was discussing this with one person. And I was saying, he was saying, everything's one. So I said, no, it's simultaneously one and different. He said, no, it's all one. It's just one. You just so I said, oh, really? So your car, you and me are the same, right? He said, exactly. We're both exactly the same. I said, so your car is my car. So give the keys, give me the keys to my car. So he was shaking. He took out his from his pocket and gave me the keys. And then he goes, no, it's mine. What do you mean it's yours? We're all the same. So he took the keys and immediately left. So we're not all one. So that's the beginning. See, everything as it can be utilized in Krishna's service, but ultimately the only utility is if it's because it's all Krishna's. In that sense, it's one. And therefore, it can be utilized in different ways in Krishna's service. And then, Sarin Mitya Udastina Madhyastadwe Shubandi Shu, Sadushwapi Tapape Shu, Samabudir Vishishite. So, Sarin means a friend. Sarin, Rin, which is the heart. So, someone, Su means to expand or to be very open. One who's very open, heartedly. One whose heart is open to another person is a friend, ready for anything. Sarin Mitya. And Mitya is also a friend, but not close, not quite as close as a Sarin, a well-wisher, one whose heart is completely open to whatever is necessary to serve the friend. Mitra is also a friend, but not necessarily so available. Udasina. Sarin Mitya Udasina, Madhyasta Dveshu Bandishu. One who's a mediator who goes between, tries to solve problems. Madhyasta Dvesha, one who's envious. Know anyone envious? Bandishu. And Bandhu is actually a very close friend, not quite as close as a Sarin who opens the heart completely, but Bandhu is a close friend. He's practically willing to do anything. Bandishu. Sarin Mitya Udasina Madhyasta Dveshu Bandishu. Sarin Sudushapi Shapapishu. A sadhu, a saintly person, a sinful person, and one who's pious and one who's impious. Seeing them all with an equal mind. Yes, they're manifesting different modes of material nature, but that doesn't mean that the soul has changed. Ultimately, they're all Krishna's servants, and that I have the same duty towards all of them, to help them become Krishna conscious. It doesn't matter if they're sinful or pious. Like the six Goswamis, we pray to them, Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Premamritam Monidi. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Premamritam Vonidi. Actually, I get it mixed up now. Dira Dira Janat Priyo Priyakaro Niratsamo Niamatsaro Nijito. So they're Niamatsara. They're not envious, the six Goswamis. And therefore they were joyfully performing kirtan in ecstasy. And they didn't mind if the Adira, those who are uncontrolled in their senses, or the Dhiras, those who control, they were happy that everyone joined the kirtan. They were friends to everyone. Everyone joined the kirtan. They even tried to get Madai and Jagai to join the kirtan, and they were successful. Therefore, they saw everyone as Krishna's servant, whether they're Adira or Adira. But they treated everyone as Krishna's servant, but they had some discrimination in general, the six Goswamis. Of course, Lord Nityananda was so ecstatic, and some of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were so ecstatic, they lost the discrimination completely. But generally, the devotees, they act, even the pure devotees, the topmost devotees, they act on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, and so they make discriminations. Unlike Lord Nityananda, who would dive into the Ganges, grab hold of a crocodile, and swim around with it. Now you try to do it. And then we can sing to you, Yanilo Premadana. They tried to make a crocodile into a devotee. But it was rather an unexpected experience. They tried, but they were not quite on that level yet. Or when Shukadeva Goswami took birth from the womb of his mother, not quite birth, he just walked out because he was a mystic yogi. And he left because he didn't want to stay around in his family. He was afraid he might get attached to his father and to the comforts of household life. So he left, walking in his birthday suit. He passed by a place where these damsels were bathing. In India, the damsels always bathed naked in a secluded place. But he walked right by them, a boy of 16 years old in his birthday suit, if you know what a birthday suit is. And the ladies didn't bother covering their bodies. So later on, Vyasadeva, who was running after his son, he said, "Wait a second, son, you know, give us a little time to get to know you, you know, give you a name at least." He ran after his son. And immediately when the ladies saw Vyasadeva, they immediately covered their bodies. So Vyasadeva was saying, "Wait a second, my son just came by here. He was naked. He was 16 years old, fully developed, and you didn't cover your bodies when you saw him. And now I'm passing by, and you're all getting excited and covering your bodies. But both him and myself were on the same level of spiritual realization. I also see everyone as a spiritual being." They said, "That may be true, but we saw your son, he was completely innocent. He didn't see any difference between us as spiritual souls and the spirit soul in the tree. Just a different kind of covering. But you yourself, you may see that way, but we have to follow the etiquette and the social custom because you're a householder. And householders have to see the difference between a male and a female, or else how can they be a householder?" So a great advanced devotee, he may see everyone equally in the sense seeing actually the soul and the super soul, but still there's a certain etiquette to be followed, at least so everyone else, others, can follow their example. Otherwise, the sahaja is, like we have some lady sahajas, they're famous because they embrace everyone. Male, female, cat, dog, whatever. They're embracing everyone. And they also collect donations from everyone because they see everyone equally. But this type of equality is actually on the level of sentiment, material sentiment or fanaticism, or we call those persons sahajya. So one has to find the proper discrimination so that others follow their footprints, follow footsteps, and one day they can come to the platform of seeing everyone truly equally by engaging everyone appropriately in Krishna's service. One who cannot discriminate, who sees everyone equally, doesn't really want to engage anyone in Krishna's service because one thinks everyone else is engaged in Krishna's service except for me. Therefore, some kind of discrimination has to be there in order to actually successfully perform the Sankirtan movement. So even the greatest devotee like Srila Prabhupada, he perfectly fulfilled the qualifications of a Madhyama Adhikari and most effectively preached the Sankirtan movement because he knew exactly what was in everyone's heart because the super soul told him, and therefore he knew exactly how to engage everyone in Krishna's service. And we're trying to find out what's in people's hearts also. so we can engage them in Krishna service too and try to find out what's in our own heart so we can figure out what's good in my heart to engage in Krishna service and what I should just put aside that's going to prevent me from engaging in Krishna service. So Krishna will give that intelligence if that's what we want. And we think, oh yes, tomorrow I'll get the intelligence. No problem. Tomorrow I'll get up for Mangalarti. Tomorrow I'll chant and try to pay some attention. Besides that, the person leading the arti, I don't like them. Why should I listen to them? It's painful hearing them. Oh my God, is that really the Hare Krishna mantra? Lips, milk, it sounds like milk touched by the lips of a serpent is having poisonous effect on me. Why should I listen? I'm not going to focus my mind on that sound vibration. Give my love to that holy name because it's coming from that poisonous source. Krishna has become contaminated by association with that devotee. That devotee is so sinful, so envious of me, so despicable that even Krishna becomes contaminated when his name comes from that devotee's heart, mouth. So this is complete illusion, of course. So if we try to pay some attention and actually appreciate, yes, I hate that devotee. I get sick every time I see them. Still, I'm trying to appreciate they're at least chanting Hare Krishna. So much purification will be there. Krishna will, because we're accepting the intelligence coming from Krishna. And therefore, so much purification will be there. If we, even our worst enemy, or anyone, even we think, oh, that devotee is a great kirtan leader. I love to listen because he kind of gets me into the right mood, you know. No, we should also try to listen and understand the devotion that they're chanting to Krishna, they're chanting Srimati Radharani, and that I should appreciate their devotees, not simply fantastic kirtan leaders, and therefore I love them. I feel so good. No, it's a question of developing the intelligence so we can actually hear the holy name. And when we can actually hear the holy name coming from different sources, then one day we'll be able to experience the holy name wherever it's coming from. And therefore we'll be able to understand that who's ever chanting Hare Krishna is actually bringing Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the whole spiritual kingdom there. And therefore we'll appreciate everyone, especially those chanting Hare Krishna. And then we can make further progress from there. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. I suggest that someone takes the responsibility of taking the mic every day so we don't start from zero. Every day we ask questions, everyone, where's the microphone? Microphone! Oh, here's one. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. There's the question, sometimes we have material desires and sometimes we need to act on them, or sometimes we need to tolerate. What's the difference? When do we know?
Material desires, we have to act on material desires. Well, the call of nature, usually we have no choice. That desire we have. But even then, we can act on it in Krishna consciousness. It's not necessary to be in Maya. As I gave the story, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to pass stool in the forest, he came back, he was holding his tongue. And one little boy asked, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why are you holding his tongue? So he said, well, I was doing something dirty in the forest and I didn't want to chant the holy name that Krishna would be there. So this little boy said, no, no, you can chant Hare Krishna anywhere. That's Krishna's desire, you chant Hare Krishna, whatever you're doing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you're right. Well, I never, you know, you're right. You're my guru. You have enlightened me. So from now on, that little boy whose name was Gopal was called Gopal Guru. To any circumstance, we can chant Hare Krishna and we'll become purified. What was that question again?
If when we need to, it's oh, more... Well, yeah.
Yeah, so that's... There's no such thing as material. It's only our consciousness is material. So we're actually doing something which is Krishna wants us to do, authorized by Guru Sahib and Shastra, or by necessity, whatever. We have to do it. And we do it to please Krishna, then it's not material anymore. If we do something whimsically, without the sanction of Guru Sahib and Shastra, and not to please Krishna, that's called whimsical, then we're being conducted by lust, anger, and greed, and therefore it's material. So we shouldn't do it. We should think before we do something. Who am I doing? Why am I doing it? Am I doing it for Krishna? And if we conclude I'm doing it for Krishna, then we should think, is this what Krishna wants me to do? And when we're sure it's what Krishna wants me to do, then we should do it thinking about Krishna in Krishna consciousness to please him. Because that's what he wants us to do. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yujrita mayarpita mano buddhir mame vaishyati samshaya. Therefore, Arjuna should always think of me in the form of Krishna. So he's asking us to think about him. So that's pleasing because we're following his direction to think about him. And at the same time, follow your prescribed duty of fighting. So we should do our duty at the same time. With your mind and intelligence fixed on me and everything engaged in me, you'll attain to me without doubt. So if our aim is to attain Krishna, follow the formula, and then Krishna will reciprocate with us, and we'll make progress in whatever we're doing, brushing our teeth, or going to sleep, whatever. Anything else?
Hare Krishna, from Bhakti Yoga, Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the enlightening class. Questions. Why do Brahman and Lord Brahma have the same name? What is the link?
Brahma.
Yeah.
Well, Brahma has the name Brahma. And Brahma. So they're not exactly the same. One is the long, generally speaking, the long A at the end. The other, Brahma. But actually is Brahman. Is he referring to Brahman and Brahma?
Yes. If there is some connection.
Yeah. Because generally speaking, I don't know that there's connection, but it looks like there's some connection between Brahma and Brahman. I guess when Brahma gets liberated, then he's in Brahman. He's a Brahma in Brahman. Because Brahma is the topmost living entity, the closest to the mode of goodness, closest to becoming liberated. I guess he's almost Brahman. He just needs another N. Then he becomes Brahman. He works for 311 trillion, 40 billion years just to get that extra N at the end of his name. Anything else?
There is one more here. Is there a link between Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu and Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan?
No. Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. Anything else? Kuala, Grantharaya, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijai.